Recently had the opportunity to participate in the Young Adult Leadership Weekend in Fort Worth, and was very appreciative of that opportunity. And part of that was helping to produce a video that was played for the young adults. At the risk of being self-serving, since I'm sort of in it some, I'm going to play it anyway because I thought, well, you could either watch me blab and listen to me blab, or you can watch me watching me blab. And anyway, it's a way for me to leverage work I've already done during busy season. The theme was walking as Jesus Christ walked. And as you listen to this, this video is specifically to the young adults. And it's about FOI, and it's about leadership. But I think if you will sort of read between the lines, you're going to be able to glean some principles about development and about leadership in the church that applies to all of us. And I will try and tie all of this together. So what we're going to do, I'm going to sit down, and John's going to play this video. It is about 18 minutes, so I'll let you know that it is a little long, but I think it's so riveting that it'll go by very quickly.
Hello, everyone. It is my pleasure to speak to all of you who are attending the Young Adult Leadership Weekend, or YALW. This video is especially for you, and it focuses on Foundation Outreach International, also known by the acronym FOI. Let me begin by providing some history and background for FOI, what it is, why it was created, and our vision for the organization. Once I provide a background, then I want to introduce two of our board members, Steve McNeely and Doug Horchak. Mr. McNeely will explain the connection between FOI and the young adults in the Church of God, a worldwide association, in his discussion with Mr. Horchak. You see, there is a connection. And we believe that FOI can play an important role in your development as a leader in the Church of God, and, for that matter, a leader in life. Our goal for these young adult weekends is to advance the education of a very important segment of the church's population. Now, we know from festival registration that 23% of our church attendance is under the age of 20. Now, while we don't have a completely accurate count of those from 20 to 30, we believe that when added to those under 20, that as many as one-third of our total attendance is under the age of 30. So we have a very strong and dedicated group within our midst that we want to immerse in the work of the church. So each year for the past several, we have organized YALW activities around the country on the same weekend. Now, the key word in the title of the weekend is the word leadership. These days, we hear a lot about the millennials, and by most definitions, those are individuals born after 1982. Now, this roughly corresponds to the age group we refer to in the church as young adults. You are the millennials. But there's a new generation coming on the scene that has been labeled Generation Z, or Gen Z. These are young people born after 1995. This is proof that time doesn't stand still for anyone, and every 20 years approximately, we declare a new generation. Now, from experience, we know that every generation has unique qualities that are helpful to study in any learning environment, and it is good for us to know the proclivities and attributes that go along with the various generations. Now, this understanding of the generations has proven to be helpful when teaching and working with each group of people. But also, we must be clear in our understanding that there are certain Christian attributes that must be common to all generations of Christians. And we should not focus so much on the differences of the generations that we forget our ultimate goal, which is to walk in His steps, to pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. That is the same for every generation. And we want to be clear that our goal is to teach and assist our young adults in God's way of life first and foremost. But we must do more. We don't stop with simply teaching God's way of life, since that is something we do for everyone in the environment of a weekly congregation. We want to address the specific needs and desires of our young adults and impress upon them the need for hands-on experience as the best form of learning. So what about FOI? Well, FOI is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization recognized by the IRS as tax-exempt in the United States. Let me introduce you to the organizational officers who volunteer to help FOI. Nathan Berg is our treasurer, Phil Sandilands is our secretary, and I serve as chairman and president of the organization. And the board members are Cliff Demarest, Corey Erickson, Doug Horchak, Steve McNeely, David Register, Rhonda Waddell, and me. It also should be known that FOI is separate from COGWA, but complements the work of the church by helping others, and its nonprofit status expands our opportunities and reach. In reality, the potential is limitless. Now consider our mission statement. The mission of Foundation Outreach International is to provide assistance, support, and volunteers for humanitarian and educational projects around the world. The emphasis is on projects that build character, develop leaders, and promote a better quality of life, especially for youth and young adults. Now, we have an annual budget of $80,000 in round numbers, and we currently sponsor 9 projects. Now, you can read about these on our FOI website. But let me make a few comments about what you will find there and about each project. First, I'll mention the Jordan Project. This is a long-standing project and is our longest project in terms of service. This is a year-long project that needs 2 to 6 volunteers annually, headed up by Corey Erickson. Then there's Embark. This program is Cliff Demmer's brainchild, and it provides mentoring for high school students. It is our newest program and potentially could involve dozens of mentors and students from around the United States. Then we have Hilltop. Rhonda Waddell developed this program of community service projects. FOI provides some minimal funding to advance volunteer service in local communities. Then we have a youth camp in Ghana, which is held every other year. We seek 4 to 6 volunteers to help with the youth in this camp in Ghana. Then we have a youth camp in Kenya. In the off year from Ghana, we seek 4 to 6 volunteers to help with a youth camp in Kenya. Now, Doug Horchak then oversees 3 English projects in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. These are 3 separate projects conducted in early August each year. 2 to 4 volunteers are sought for each of these countries. And then we have the scholarship program. Each year we fund 12 to 20 students, mostly in Africa, for their secondary education. You see, in most African countries, there is a charge for anyone to continue school after elementary. FOI is expanding this program and is currently helping many young men and women in Southern Africa. And this program is also administered by a capable team of volunteers. So I hope this gives you a good overview of what FOI does. Please consider volunteering for one of our projects this year. But now, how is this connected to leadership? Well, to answer that question, I'd like to introduce 2 board members from FOI, Steve McNeely and Doug Horchak. Mr. McNeely is a strong advocate for developing our young adults. He occasionally writes and speaks on leadership in East Texas. In addition to being an FOI board member, Mr. Horchak is the operation manager for ministerial services and an employee of the Church of God, a worldwide association. Now, recently I asked Mr. Horchak to interview Mr. McNeely on leadership development and the part that FOI can play in that process. So here is that interview that was done in our studio back in January.
Hello, Steve. I'd like you to first tell me why it is that you believe the development of leadership amongst our young adults is so important to you and how you believe FOI can help contribute to that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity and thanks for everything you guys are doing continually for the young adults. You know, one of the things that strikes me and I'm so thankful for is the commitment and the dedication of our young adults. It's kind of like a miracle of faith. And what a talent pool. And I think you and I, we've talked about this, you feel the same way. The young adults are not only the future of the church, they're the now of the church. You know, we need their energy and their creativity and their drive and their youth. Did I say youth already? But to your points about this FOI leadership connection, let me draw a contrast. You remember those commercials? They were kind of silly, where somebody would stay at a Holiday Inn Express, and after that they would be doing something they had no business doing. They were unprepared, unqualified, but they had great confidence because they'd stayed at this hotel. Well, that's ludicrous, of course. We think, well, I would never get on an airplane piloted by someone who had never flown, or I'd never have a, wannabe neurosurgeon cut me open because he or she had, read a book or watched a lynda.com class. The point is, it takes a lot of hands-on experience to become really accomplished at anything. And so I think that's the key for our young adults in their leadership development, is to gain experience. But it seems much of the world sort of thinks that leadership becomes a skill. It's almost like a osmosis from the rays of the sun. You know, the higher I go up the org chart, the higher I fly and the more naturally skilled I am, especially if I read a book or attend a seminar or two. I love this cartoon that shows this executive standing behind this big fancy desk. And before him, all suited up, are three or four obviously of his people, and they're bowing down, they're prostrate. And he says, "I don't know what it is, but I just feel that lately my leadership skills have gone to a whole new level." And of course, that's the antithesis of what Jesus Christ taught about, leadership. But today, there has never been more information available about leadership. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And you've got more courses and classes and books and blogs and tweets and workshops and webinars. But never has so much produced so little. If you look at the scorecard on American business, you've got millions, probably tens of millions of disengaged, unhappy, job-hunting employees that are kind of working for the weekend and maybe working in semi-toxic culture. So there's this huge disconnect. Why is that? Well, of course, as we know, a big part of that is the spiritual element that's missing. And it's very fortunate for our young adults that they have that reinforced at these weekends, understanding the importance of humility and faith and obedience and following Jesus Christ. And the world at large is missing that. But there is another element as well. It actually takes grit and tumble to make a stone polished. You put water and sand in a rock tumbler, and then you have a beautiful gem. Well, real leaders are polished sort of the same way, but the tumbler is real life, and the ingredients that get added are passion and book learning, practice, but experience, a lot of experience.
Well, how does that apply to our young adults?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, there's actually a lot of research and information published today that dovetails with godly principles. For example, we all know that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, but he also sent them out. He gave them something to do. There's a prestigious nonprofit organization called the Center for Creative Leadership, and they derived a learning model regarding leadership development. And according to their findings, successful, well-developed leaders go through the following process. They learn 10% from training, courses, book learning, 20% from mentors, basically developmental relationships, mentors and coaches, and fully 70% of their development comes from stretch assignments, challenging assignments, hands-on experience. So we see that experience is a very important part of people reaching their full potential as leaders.
You know, I've heard over the years some of the young adults that have gone to our Young Adult Leadership Week, and they come back motivated and excited and pumped about what they've experienced. But they come back to the same old routine that they've had in their life previous to going, and often ask the question, how can I lead? What can I do?
Right. I know how people feel. I mean, we all get so busy, and we have so much going on, and life is so complicated. I think it's really important to point out, as I know you do on these weekends, that you don't have to have a formal position on an org chart to be a leader. Really, I say it this way, any time that we influence another person in any context to reach for his or her full potential, we are showing true godly leadership. Because after all, isn't that what God the Father and Jesus Christ want for us and all the Father's children? And so we have tremendous opportunity every time we interact to exert powerful leadership forces, mainly through our example. But beyond that, when people work together to accomplish great things, a whole a new opportunity for skills comes in. You think about team building, working with different nationalities, personalities, generations, being a visionary, creating a high-performance culture, how to delegate effectively so people develop. There's just a lot of different skills that come to play to really develop as a leader.
Well, Steve, let me ask this. If a person doesn't have a role as a leader in an organization and they know that they're supposed to serve, what does that have to do with leadership?
Well, to me, that is the point of this whole video. I mean, we're looking for a vehicle. And, one thing we could do, we could ask Britt to, we could pry the bag out of Britt's hands and send everybody to a Holiday Inn Express, but that's probably not going to happen. FOI presents a perfect vehicle for doing this. And if you think of it this way, I like to call it the double-edged sword of team service. If you picture a gleaming sword, it's polished and it's got two razor-sharp edges. With one edge, with team service, we can fulfill our responsibilities to glorify God the Father and Jesus Christ by letting our light shine and doing good to all men and in the church. With the other edge, we have the opportunity to sort of get our hands dirty and get real-world experience in leading and serving. And I think this double-edged sword of team service presents a fantastic opportunity for leadership development through FOI. And another point I'd like to make, I think that the young people need to buy in, as it were, if we can fly in a buzzword, to the fact that, they have permission to do this. We need their initiative. We need their creativity. We need their energy. We need them to dream up new stuff, to get involved, bring new projects, new works, so that we can do this team service together. And I think through FOI is a wonderful vehicle for them to be able to do that and develop.
Well, thanks for your insight into this, Steve, and your comments. Really appreciate that. I know that FOI is a great opportunity for our young people to be able to get involved, and we surely hope that they do that. Now we're going to go ahead and turn it back over to Mr. Franks to conclude our video.
As you can see from our video, the opportunities are limitless, and the vehicle is ready for you. We have the perfect incubator. FOI is a wonderful place for learning the importance of volunteering. To travel to a developing country and serve others will change your life. To participate in a community service project will open your eyes to the harsh realities of life today. You will never be the same. But that is a good thing. An FOI project will expand your comfort zone and give you an opportunity to help your fellow man. So come join us in FOI. We need you, not only for our existing projects, but for the new ones you will invent. Well, thanks for coming to the YALW this year. We have one final presentation for you on the subject of volunteerism as a Christian activity. And then later today, we have a service project planned in each location. Enjoy the remainder of the weekend, and in the future, consider participating in a current FOI project or propose a new one. It is really up to you. You will not regret it, and it will change your life.
I had a good nap. How about the rest of you? I think what was most significant to me about that presentation is some of the key quotes from Mr. Franks. He said things like, for the young adults, and I believe this applies to those who are young at heart as well. So this applies to all of us, and all of us have a role to play, not only in our own leadership development, but as we will see, for all members of the body of Jesus Christ. He said things like, get these young folks to immerse themselves in the work of the church. And he said, we must pattern our lives after Jesus Christ, of course. He said, to teach and assist our young adults in God's way of life, first and foremost. He says, that's what we need to do, first and foremost. He said, but we do this every week in the context of services in the congregation. And then he says, but we must do more. think that's very significant. We must impress upon them, and I would say also us, all of us, the need for hands-on experience as the best form of learning. The best form of learning. And he talks about learning the importance of volunteering. You will never be the same. I know, and Christine had the opportunity to go to Zambia, not that everybody needs to go to Zambia to experience new opportunities. It sort of changed her, and Mary and I were worried for a while we were going to lose her to Zambia. It's like, I guess once Africa gets in your blood, it's hard to not go back. So she was one of the first ones under Kagwa's watch to go over and help teach language to the brothers and sisters there. We need you, he said, not only for our existing projects, but the new ones you will invent. The new ones you will invent. I'm looking at you guys, because you're young. No. This is for all of us, though. I mean, we all can be creative and inventive. So my purpose this afternoon is to get us all, young and old. Oh, there's Toby walking up the aisle. To examine ourselves in the following critical areas of our walk to serve God the Father and Jesus Christ. One, am I appropriately self-aware of my physical and spiritual gifts? Two, am I doing all I can to use these gifts to the glory of God and Christ? Three, am I helping others, especially the children, teens, and young adults, to fully develop as the next generation of leaders in the church? This applies to all of us. Are we, as the older generations, doing all we can, understanding that to fully develop takes hands-on experience to help the new generations develop as leaders in the church? You know, Rod ended by saying, let's be proactive and do something. You know, theory's fine, book knowledge is fine, but my dad used to always joke, you know, let's not worry about making a mistake. Somebody do something, you know, just quit sitting around. Everybody familiar with what an aptitude is? I'm going to use this by way of introduction and to talk about spiritual gifts. I would like for all of you to either with your pen or pretend that you are going to quickly sign your name with your offhand. Let's do it. If you're right-handed, sign your name with your left hand. If you're left-handed and odd in that way, one of a few very strange people in the world, my dad's left-handed. It means he's in his right mind. Sign with your right hand. So quickly, just go through the motion. Now, how is it for you? Is it smooth? Is it pretty? Does it look just the same? My ex looks the same either hand. But, well, you didn't give your parents permission to make you right-handed or left-handed. It was wired into your genetics. And in the same way, we are wired with aptitudes as human beings. And each one of us is beautiful and unique. We are special, some more special than others. No, we're all beautiful and special. But we're given unique aptitudes. And an aptitude is simply something in our genetics that makes it easier for us to learn a particular skill. And there's a very prestigious nonprofit in Dallas, and I think they have other offices. They're called the Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation. And you go spend about $600 and you can get tested. I think they've got 16 different aptitudes. And it's from everything like manual dexterity that might be necessary if you're going to be a brain surgeon, to being spatial if you're going to be an architect, or a person who is good with numbers and lists, or a person who has different inductive or deductive reasoning types. And so you can actually know that human beings are gifted differently physically based on the genetics and how we're wired. And part of the problem that happens today is that many people end up in careers and jobs that are ill-fitted to their aptitudes. Now, it doesn't mean you can't learn a skill. You could learn to write with your offhand and sign your name. It may never be as smooth or as easy as the other one. You can learn it. You can learn to paint with your offhand. Or if you're not artistic, you can learn to paint. You can learn to paint. But it's never going to be as easy as it would be for somebody that naturally had the ability to be artistic and judge colors and spaces and all those things. And the other thing that's true about aptitudes is just because you have one doesn't mean you're going to be highly skilled. It still takes an enormous amount of hard work to develop your aptitudes and your skills. That's the part that nobody likes to hear, but it's true. But you can learn what your physical aptitudes are. I started to mention, and I think I'll just insert it in here, many people are very unhappy in their work because they're accidentally where they are. They're not there because of a plan, because of being appropriately self-aware about who they are and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And you may be able to learn to do a job, and you may be able to do pretty well at it. And I speak from the experience of a rock star trapped in an accountant's body. It's very stressful. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. Sadly, be a loss to the world. But this creates unhealthy stress, which creates a lot of disease because it affects our immune systems. So it's really important, especially for you young people, to understand what you're good at. And you may have to try different things, and that's a whole different subject. But I'm using that to lead into something that's way more important. And a lot of this is based on young adult Bible study that I gave in San Diego and then the opportunity to speak in young adult leadership. And it was fun then. We had a bit of an interactive. We can't do that now. I would be shot. It'd be fun. But I asked him, you know, how do you know that you have spiritual gifts? Where would you go in the Bible to find support that says you, if you have God's Holy Spirit and are part of the body of Christ, that you are beautifully unique and spiritually gifted? And so let's turn, please, to Romans 12. And I will help you with this since we can't be interactive. Romans 12. And I'll skim through a lot of this chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, starting in verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, I am imploring you, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, as Rod said, do something. Don't just think something. Don't just read something. Do something. Then, for I say, verse 3, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, everyone among you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. Why? As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. This is a gift from our Heavenly Father. For as we have many members in one body, so many members in the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, having individually members of one another. So here it is. Having then gifts. Having then gifts. Differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy or inspired speaking, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or service or ministry, let us use it, or teaching, or exhorting, or giving, or leading, or one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Those are pretty powerful words to all, young and old. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start in verse 1 and skip through a lot of this chapter. Now he's writing to the church in Corinth. And Is it last week Mr. Traegbig talked about this letter, I think? Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, they had obviously had questions about this. So he's answering, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, so they served false gods. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So this faith was a gift to the Holy Spirit, and particularly at that time. Verse 4, there are diversities or differences of gifts, but the same Spirit of God. There are differences of ministries or services or administrations, but the same eternal, the same Lord. There are different activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit inside a human being when that Spirit works with our spirit and with our humanity. And it is bearing fruit that is seen. It is like Rod said, it's doing something, it's being proactive. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, not for the glory of the self, but for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy. And I guess we could go ahead if you want to hand that out. I have a handout. I did this many years ago. It's just a listing of these spiritual gifts as you find them in Scripture. And it's got the Strong's definition in there, and it's got a Thayer definition. And so it might prompt you to do some Bible study about this. It's not the be-all or end-all. It's, again, just there's no analysis. I just copied some definitions for you. The point is, there are a lot of different unique gifts in the Bible. Well, I keep going on here. I think I'm in 10. Miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits to another, different kinds of tongues, different languages, the interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as Jesus Christ, the head of the church, wills. One unifying Spirit, the Spirit of God, working in every Christian. I'll skip down to verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And so Paul, in several places and in the Bible, you find this body metaphor. And you think of a conditioned, graceful athlete. I've brought this up before, but it's so beautiful. I mean, you think of a sprinter. You see him in slow motion. And even those guys that in just a few seconds are going 100 meters, and you look at the rippling muscles and how they breathe and how they move, and it is just gorgeous. It is so beautiful. And there's so much hard work that goes into that. But every little thing, from the little toe, you know, to the eyelash, it's all working hard. And it's coordinated, and it's unified, and it's one body with all these different gifted pieces working together to glorify God the Father. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Let's skip down to 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues or languages. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the same gifts, in other words? No. And then he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. There's an admonition here. It's not wrong to earnestly desire a great gift to be able to serve, not for your own aggrandizement, but to be able to serve. And then, of course, he goes on into the love chapter and says there is a better way. And any of these things and all of these things have to be done in complete love. And the love of God is an intellectual choice to always seek the best for another, no matter how we feel about them. That's what godly love is. Always seeking the best for another. That's what God the Father does for us when he's pretty upset with us for what we may have done. He still loves us and wants the best for us. He wants us to repent. He wants us to forgive and be forgiven. First Peter 4. First Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And listen, as each one has received a gift, and it's not if you are gifted now. We understand that from the scriptures. It is what is your gift? What are your gifts? What are you responsible for? What am I responsible for? Serve one another. Minister to one another. This isn't just written to the elders of the church or the deacons of the church. Certainly there are different responsibilities and hierarchy in the Church of God. But there is no designation here for those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So minister to each other as stewards. A steward has to give an accounting for something that's not his or hers. If I'm given this gift, it's given to me to use, and I will be held to account, as we will come back and see. A steward has to give an accounting for how he or she managed the assets placed in their trust. How are you and how am I using our spiritual gifts to the glory of God the Father and Jesus Christ? Talks about speaking and serving. Do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Not sure how that got in there. The Sabbath prior, I guess it was the Sabbath of that weekend, Mr. Clyde Kylo spoke in Fort Worth. He gave an excellent sermon about character, and that change comes from the inside out. And, you know, John and I went to Imperial in Pasadena, and we learned about legislating character from the outside in. It doesn't work, because you can play the game. You find people that know how to play the game, put on the uniform. So true godly change comes from the inside out. And it got me to thinking as he was going through that sermon that really, what you and I are involved with in all these things and in our whole life is to bring ourselves, every facet of our being, into alignment with Jesus Christ. You know, my son-in-law is a chiropractor, and so I say, you know, what happens? Can people function when they're out of aligned in their back? Well, sure. I mean, I used to have severe back problems, but I could walk sometimes when my back was really hurting. One time I was running lines and fell over because I had hurt my back and pinched a nerve, and it failed to send signals to my foot, and so I fell over. But that led to back surgery. But it's like us being misaligned in our careers. You can still sort of function with your back out of whack, and we can still sort of function with our lives out of whack. But it isn't free-flowing, it isn't smooth, and it isn't free of the wrong kind of stress. And so really, our whole quest is to, you know, sort of bring our lives into alignment with the example that Jesus Christ left for us. And, you know, 1 Peter 2:21 says, we're called to follow Christ's example, walking in his footsteps. And as another scripture, or maybe it's this one, where it's almost like the description is in the Greek, I believe, is like a tracing of an outline. It's, remember, when you used to do those color the dots or paint by numbers or whatever. There's this beautiful outline. It's maybe faint for us, but it is there. And when we're aligned, we're going to be exactly in the lines. We're not going to be coloring outside the lines. We're going to be aligned with Jesus Christ. So part of what we have to embrace, in my opinion, through this walk is not only aligning our physical aptitudes and gifts with what we choose to do with our lives and where we spend most of our waking hours, or we will end up miserable, honestly, working for the weekend. But if we can align physically, we'll be happier. But especially if we can align spiritually with Jesus Christ and bring every thought into subjection and submission to Jesus Christ. So this is all about a process through our whole life of aligning. But to be able to align spiritually, we have to understand, you know, who we are. What are our gifts, and are we using them? Part of the problem that people have is trying to make themselves or make others be what they're not. And some of this is deeply personal, deeply spiritual. You know, we can covet the best gifts, but if we have to sort of be honest, if we're not actually good at this or that, maybe our gift is over here, and it doesn't make it any less valuable. It doesn't make it any less beautiful. And we're not trying to force ourselves to be something we shouldn't in the body, but we're embracing what we do. Now, that doesn't mean have interest, be varied, do these things. You know, I'm not trying to make us yellow pencils. In fact, I'm trying to say we need to be very different on these things. But it's about us aligning our lives with the will of God the Father and Jesus Christ. What are my spiritual gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? Do you know what they are? You know whether you're right-handed or left-handed. You probably know whether you're artistic or musical, detail-oriented, big picture, outgoing, introverted, you know, super uber disciplined like me, or more free-flowing like Mary. But do we know then, in terms of our spiritual gifts, who and what we are and where we've been placed in the body? I think that's why some of the things that Mr. Franks brought out are so important, in that we seek to discover these things through hands-on experience. And we seek to expand the vehicle. We do that beyond maybe 2 hours a week or what's ancillary to that. It's not disrespecting the importance of this. It means we use this as a launching pad to go elsewhere and do other things. And I think, you know, in some regards, within our church culture, the gift of public speaking has kind of been the coin of the realm. And if you're progressing, you're sort of expected to speak. Well, it may not be everybody's gift. Sometimes the hidden gifts are the most beautiful gifts. You know, Mary is one who is very discerning. And there are others that are so tender-hearted, and they know just the right thing to say, and we will never know their gifts. There's a young man I know that it blew me away to find out that how much time he spends sitting with widows and helping people. Because from his gruff exterior, you'd never believe it. Nobody sees that. And that is beautiful. And the ability to know just the right thing to say, or to have complete empathy, or to be hospitable, or to be an encourager, like my dear friend John, who is the Barnabas of our congregation. That is precious and beautiful. And we don't have to limit ourselves to sort of, you know, what I heard Mr. Frank saying, and he said several times, and I said the word invent and new. And sort of thinking outside the box. And we're not talking about throwing things away doctrinally. We're talking about developing new opportunities to use what we know to glorify God the Father and Jesus Christ. FOI, and even service within the church, outside of the community of the church, inside the community of the church, team service where we learn to work together, we take on different roles, gives us great opportunity to develop our leadership abilities as Christians. You know, again, I said this the last time I talked about Scully, didn't know his plane was going to end up in the water. We know we're destined to lead and teach. It's not like we wonder about it. I wonder what I'm going to be when I grow up. Maybe a ballerina or a rock star. That's just like, okay, that's kindergarten. When we grow up, we're going to lead and teach. So why are we waiting to prepare? So, one thing I asked the kids, and we've got to talk about this, it's very important, because there have been those that have thought that they've been tapped on the shoulder, and so they take off. And so I said, what do you do if you feel that your gifts are not being recognized or utilized, not being used in the way that you feel they should be used? And they have very mature answers. It ends up that the end of the day is, and I think they had a healthy appreciation and understanding of this, is God the Father and Jesus Christ value unity and the oneness of the body more than they value personal initiative. You know. And there's a great scripture that kind of shows that Jesus Christ knows your address. You know, it's like, we don't need to tap ourselves on the shoulder. Jesus Christ knows our address. Let's look at Exodus 31. This is a really interesting scripture to me. An Old Testament scripture about the power of the Holy Spirit at work to fulfill the unique needs that Jesus Christ and God the Father had at that time. Exodus 31, 1. The Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they make all that I have commanded you regarding the tabernacle. Jesus Christ knows our address. Now, what are you and what am I accountable for? You know, I think we're all very familiar with the parable of the talents. And not everybody was given the same amount of talents, and not everybody produced, although maybe one person produced 100%, and that meant two more talents, another person produced five more. So they doubled, but it wasn't the same amount. They weren't all the same. And the person who got the rule over five cities would have been unhappy and uncomfortable ruling 10 beyond his or her spiritual gifts. But there's something very interesting if you want to go back and study this. You look over to, in the same scripture, how the sheep and the goats are separated. And how are they separated? They are separated over doing the most menial, service-oriented tasks for the least of the people in Jesus' name. You gave somebody a cup of water in Jesus' name. And that doesn't mean that it isn't wonderful if people are able to speak or be on TV or be on radio or write to spread the gospel. And that may be where God the Father and Jesus Christ have placed them in the body, but that doesn't mean that this other is not equally as important and vital. And it does not give us the excuse to sit back and wait or sort of delegate our responsibilities to the professionals, if you will. I can fulfill my responsibility by coming to church and listening and helping out here and there. Unless we have, in my opinion, deeply delved into our inner spiritual self to understand who and what we are spiritually and what we are meant to do to serve the body and to glorify God the Father, then we are not reaching our full potential. We just really aren't. There was a fantastic running back, and they're coming up to the championship game, and he had failed his math test. And the coach is like, there's got to be some way. I need him. He's got to play. He's going to make the university millions. He's got to play. Dean said, okay, you give him a simple math test, verbal math test. If he passes it, he can play. If he doesn't pass it, he can't play. So in the locker room, they're dressing out for the game. He, in front of the whole team, he says, oh, okay, Billy, what is 2 + 2? And Billy thinks for a minute, and he says, 4. And the coach just pauses, and the rest of the team says, give him another chance, coach. Give him another chance. For those of us who are not eligible to go to the Young Adult Leadership Weekend, there are such wonderful mentoring and coaching opportunities to help develop others, not only our peers and not only ourselves. And we need to think about if we need to lift our eyes and expand our paradigm to find new ways to inspire and to help develop and to coach and to mentor one another. Having played intercollegiate small college basketball and coached, I have a little knowledge of this. So some time ago I wrote this about great coaches. And I think it applies in any context. Great coaches are first good players. They don't have to be great players. They got to be good players. They demonstrate by example. They're excellent teachers. They constantly help players drill, practice, and rehearse. Doing, doing. They creatively craft game-like conditions to provide relevant learning opportunities. We saw how 20% of people's leadership development comes from mentors and special relationships of people that are bringing other people along. It's a small part, but it's a very vital part. They're not afraid to properly correct their players' game on the spot. Give constructive, helpful criticism. Understand that to really develop others, they have to sit on the sidelines and let the players play the game. Now, this is a challenge for us. If we think back in our church history, we had people who were pastors when they were could barely get a driver's license. Now, I'm not advocating we go back to that, yet they were entrusted with huge responsibilities, and many of them did wonderfully at it and grew into great pastors and leaders. We may have to sometimes step aside and sit on the sideline to allow the next generations to step up if they're going to develop. Great coaches are always looking for any sign of improvement to praise. They're master motivators. They tailor their approach for every individual. They celebrate victories even when the score is unfavorable. And they keep the whole thing in perspective. So in conclusion, as we examine ourselves, let us consider the following questions. Am I appropriately self-aware of my physical and spiritual gifts? Am I doing all I can to use these gifts to the glory of God and Christ? Am I helping others, especially the children, teens, and young adults, to fully develop as the next generation of leaders in the church? Now, I'm probably correct in saying that every person here is too busy. Anybody not too busy? I have retired clients, a lot of retired clients, too busy. Can't get it all done. It's just life now. We have so many responsibilities and so many distractions and so many easy distractions. We're doing all we can, right? We can't do any more. Well, I've learned, and I'll tell you young people this now that I'm a little older, it really is true in my own life, and I've seen it. When you do people's taxes and you do that, you really find out about them as people. I mean, everybody's wallet's tied to their heart. It just is. And I've learned that we always have the time and the money for the things we want and value. We can find the time and the money for the things we want and value. It may take us a little while. We may have to be creative. We may have to go into debt so far that, you know, our eyeballs are bleeding. But we'll get that new car. Or said another way, if we want to know what we truly value, look at how we spend our own time and money. We do an accounting of how we spend our time and money, we will be able to give a rendering of what is truly important to us. So are we focused on the right things? Are our priorities clear? Are we in alignment with Jesus Christ's leadership for the body of Christ today? Are we in alignment? Do we need to consider adding new ways to do things? Let's embrace our eternal destiny and redouble our efforts to detect and develop and deploy our unique, beautiful spiritual gifts. And let us help each other, one another, to do the same. We will therefore glorify God the Father and Jesus Christ.